it again. I have a feeling that the Lord wants to encourage us through the Christmas message that we have today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we gather, O Lord, with our hearts open to receive from you. Lord, we thank you for your continual presence with us. Thank you, Lord, that you've journeyed with us, and especially through this Advent season, you've brought us, Lord, your message, your word, and you continue, Lord, being with us, Lord, every step of the way. We thank you, Lord, for the joy that we receive with the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, whose birth alone brought boundless joy to those immediately and to some of us thousands of years after. Lord, we pray that you will illuminate our hearts right now through your word. Point us back to your Son, Jesus Christ, and encourage us through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right, so as Judy has already read for us, John chapter 1, verse 14, and Romans 5, 8, I'm going to center on the third Advent that we have today, which is on the theme of joy, finding and maintaining joy. I just wanted to underline that, finding and maintaining joy. And we do that through reflecting on the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that incarnation demonstrates the love of God. And that happens regardless of our circumstances. That happens no matter what we have been through. All right, so the first day we brought us, as we look through this general theme, the heart of Christmas, the first Sunday in Advent, we brought us a topic, hope in the promise, trying to establish the fact that Jesus has brought us hope both now and hereafter, eternally. And then last week, Andy brought us the message on peace. Peace in the midst of chaos. Chaos in the world and chaos even internally. That the peace of Christ, through the birth of the baby Jesus, brought the peace of God into our hearts, first of all, and then into the world. And today, I'm bringing us the third Advent, joy. Joy in all circumstances. Joy. I would like to introduce the concept of joy. The concept of joy. Yeah, I think it's faster than itself. Can you help me go back? Yeah. Right. If you help me just do it, it seems to be faster than I thought. Anyway, yeah. I've been thinking about joy. And I like to say that joy, as I suspect we all know, that joy is that, you know, deep-seated sense of well-being. Not just something that happens to us, but something that happens in us. That deep-seated sense of well-being. It comes not because I've looked into my bank account, or it doesn't come because my circumstances have changed. It comes because I have trust in God, and I believe that he will do what he said he would do. I believe that what he has already set out to do is established, because his words will never fall to the ground. And we know that is quite different from happiness, because joy is not dependent on the external circumstances, like I mentioned. But I like to say that the concept of joy encapsulates happiness and a step further. It takes the concept of happiness a little step further, especially for a child of God. All right? The contentment that I have that is associated with my relationship with someone that is higher than I am. someone that is able to keep his promises, regardless of whether I change or not. He is the one that has said something. As a human, I can say something, I can promise you, and circumstances might not allow me to fulfill my promises. I had an uncle long time ago when I was growing up, promising me heaven on earth. Promising, you know, promises and promises and promises and promises. But they didn't come through with their promise. I felt disappointed, let down, neglected, and the list goes on. But while I matured a little bit in life, I came to realize that this might not really be that he didn't like me. But it may be that circumstances changed beyond his reach. He still loves me. And then I came to trust that he loves me. But by then, I have matured a little bit in my journey in life. But while that was happening, I couldn't put my head around it. I tell you another story also. When I graduated from the Methodist Theological Institute in Nigeria, where I was trained, I graduated the best student in church history. And I didn't even put much effort into it. I didn't even read. I didn't even do more than everyone did. But I saw myself graduating the best student in church history, and I did very well in Hebrew and Greek, even though I failed the first time I had to retake Hebrew. But I went back and retook Hebrew and Greek, and I passed. But church history, I was the best. And in fact, I later on taught church history in Bible school for a while. But I was very good in church history. Anyway, there was always an endowment in those days for anyone who does that. So during that year, the endowment was missing. But before then, they were giving it to people. So I went home that day thinking that this was all about Henry. What have I done wrong? Why didn't they let me do like other people before this time? They were celebrated and, you know, things were done for them. Do you know, I carried that grudge for years. I must confess, for years. Until I matured a little bit in the ministry. And one day, while I was in the shower, something spoke to me. Henry, what if it was a mistake that they made? What if it wasn't deliberate on the part of the lecturers and the professors? What if? And I regretted never going back to them, asking them. But it was too late by then. But had I known, I would have gone back to them. Excuse me, sir, I thought this should be done this way for me. Why didn't you? But I went home with the conclusion it was all about Henry. Well, they don't want me to be celebrated. They don't want me. Because of a little thing, you know, some few things that happened in, you know, there were things that happened that led me to think that, yeah? We're all human, right? A few things happened that led me to make that conclusion that they didn't like me, right? But while I matured, But 3 years ago, again, in the shower, this was in Sheffield, I felt God say to me, I want you to give that endowment right now. And I put a call across to the Methodist Church in Nigeria and said, I want you to just put me down from now henceforth every year. Anyone who graduates best in church history, put me down. I will be the person giving out the endowment. And we have done that ever since, from that day until now I'm speaking. Every year they let us know who. In fact, we went a little further. We added other things to it, and they celebrate the people, and we give them some money and some other things. And I said, what I didn't receive, I'm going to let others receive from now henceforth. And that is what I did. Well, I deviated a little bit, but what I'm saying is that joy is quite different from just ordinary happiness. Joy is that feeling that I have because I know that someone standing beside me, His words never fall to the ground. He will surely keep his promises. And there are two definitions that I want to bring. This is my own construction of joy. And joy has come from the Greek word chara, C-H-A-R-A. Chara. The Greek word chara, in my own definition of it, is two-sided. Number one is the divine joy that we have. I'll read one of my favorite passages, Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Chara, which is not dependent on what I'm going through at that time, but with who is present with me. You make known to me the path of life. And also, there is this side of joy that I also like to call enduring joy. Enduring joy, I will lead us to James chapter 1, 2, and 3. And it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So that strength to endure whatever situation, in spite of what surrounds me, is the enduring joy. Divine joy coming from the presence of God, not from how much I have in my pocket or what is ongoing around me, but for who is standing beside me. Enduring joy in what I am going through, tribulations, circumstances, homelessness maybe, nakedness in some places they do, hunger, whatever, lack, grief, loss, whatever. That enduring sense of knowing that he is with me and he's filled me not with happiness, but taking it a little further with joy. And that is enduring joy. Now, I'd like to lead us back to the source of our joy. And I want us to believe that when the Word became flesh in Jesus and dwelt among us, that is a profound concept of joy. The Word became flesh in John chapter 1, verse 14. He dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the incarnation shows that Emmanuel, God, is with us. And then God with us brings light, as we have done today. It also brings joy to us. Joy to the world. That's what Jesus has come to do. But not just to the world, but to the hearts, in the hearts of people. When that joy comes in us, then it will be the source of a change in our innermost person, no matter what we go through. Then we will be full of grace and truth, which were the greetings used in the early church. Grace and truth. They are minor things, tiny things, but we pray that God will fill our Advent season, and for us as a church going forward, my deepest prayer is that God will fill us with grace and with truth. And also, I was reflecting on the source of joy, and I was somehow led back to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And I'll read that for us. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. This was Nehemiah speaking the words of God to the people of God, even in amidst all that was happening with them and with those who have invaded their land. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. The day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve. And this is the point here. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say that with me? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So have that in your mind or write it down. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where is the source? The Lord. The Lord. The joy of the Lord is, it does something to you. It gives you strength. The joy of the Lord, it comes from Him. So, joy comes from the Lord. That's the source. Not from any human, not from anything, but from the Lord. So, if you have the Lord, then it does something to you. It brings strength to you. It brings encouragement to you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So for anyone that has the joy, he participates, she participates in the strength. So make it personal. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the joy of the Lord, coming from the Lord, is your strength. It does something to you. For who? You. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So for everyone who have received this gift of Jesus Christ, he or she is the one that receives the joy from the Lord, and then he is the one or she is the one that will receive strength from the Lord. So if the joy of the Lord is my strength, I was just saying this to myself while I was driving the other day. If the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength, then it means all the attributes of God become continual source of joy to me. He makes his power to be my protection. His wisdom is my foundation. His grace is my salvation. His love is my comfort. His mercy is my hope. His presence is my peace. His faithfulness is my assurance. His sovereignty is my confidence. His justice is my fairness. His creativity is my inspiration. His patience is my endurance. His truth is my guide. And like Luke said in Luke chapter 2, 8 to 14, describing what the shepherds did and what they saw while they were living out and keeping watch over their flock, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, first of all. But the angel of the Lord said to them, because they were terrified, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom the favor of God rests. I'd like to encourage us to be open to moments of joy every day. Every day of our lives. In the ordinary routines of our lives, just be open. What is God saying to me? Look beyond all that is happening, the chaos, all that is not, you know, going the way it should be, even as a fellowship. Look beyond everything. What is God doing through what He's saying to me? What is God saying to me? Perhaps God wants to take me to a different level. Perhaps there is something hidden in me He wants to bring out. Perhaps there is something I've undirected myself before now. He wants to sharpen up and even surprise me with myself. This is my prayer. May the Lord do that for us. That's my prayer. The basis of our joy goes back to where we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's the basis of our joy, because he died for me. While I was still wallowing in sin, he gave me the unconditional love that he came and died for me. And so I have joy in my salvation. Let me close by proposing to us what I believe that what joy is and what I think joy is not. Number one, I've already alluded to this fact that joy is not dependent on circumstances. So, it's not completely the same as happiness, because when we are happy, things might happen because it might be fleeting and dependent on external circumstances. So I don't think joy is dependent on what happens to me. I also think that joy is rooted in God's promises. So what has he said in his word, and my knowledge of it and my trust and belief in what he said brings joy to me. Praise God. When I go through things and then I remember what he said about me and what he said is due for me, joy will come to me. And also, I think joy is commanded. And I believe that joy is commanded. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the apostle said, "Rejoice in the Lord." How many times? Let me hear you. How many times?
Always.
"Rejoice in the Lord always." It was an indirect command. Yeah? Encouraging people, you need this. "Rejoice in the Lord always." Not when I'm sick and I'm well, I have money, I don't have money, and when things are going well for me. You know, as humans, it's very natural. When things are going well, we tend to be happy. When they are not, we tend to be sad. That is just natural. But God commands us, even in the midst of those things, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And he goes on to say, and I will say it again, rejoice. And also, number four, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, you know, from 22 and 23, we see joy listed. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it is cultivated through our relationship with God. And that is why I believe, I said it here before, and I still believe, spiritual gifts are only for believers. Those who are not believers can have talents. Yeah, they can have natural talents and abilities and skills. When you talk about spiritual gifts, they are only for believers in Christ. There is no person who is not saved and filled with the Spirit of God that will have spiritual gifts. Yeah. But God takes our talents and gifts and abilities and transforms them when we become one in Christ and sharpens them up, they could become our spiritual gifts. But we all have things in natural and supernatural that God uses to bring glory to himself. And then finally, I want to say that joy is a choice. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 and 18 says this, one of my favorite passages again. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no root grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." So this is described as Habakkuk's psalm. Yeah? Because he said this by the inspiration of the Lord to Judah, even when the Babylonians were up against them. And he said this, though these things happen. So I believe joy is a choice. you choose to have joy. When things happen around you, it's happened to me, you know, things happening even in and out that could make you just go and have a pity party. No. I will have joy. I choose to have joy because joy is a choice. And when you do, that enemy and accuser of the brethren will run away from you. He will run away because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. What he does is to come bring things that could make you go sad and moody all the time. Please don't let him. Don't let the enemy do that to you. It is genuine for us as humans to feel unhappy sometimes because of things that's happened or because of things that we're going through. But I encourage you, choose not to allow the enemy do that to you. Because when they do and you accept it, it pushes you back. It sets you back. You are on an onward trajectory. The Lord has been doing things in your life. Accept it. Don't let the enemy come diffuse all into you and try to corrupt what the Lord has done in you. So joy is a choice. Joy is commanded. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And joy comes from above. Joy is different from happiness because it's not dependent on what happens around me. It's dependent on who stands beside me and the relationship I have with that being. And I trust him that he will do what he says he will do. Let us pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to reflect on the joy that comes from knowing you. Thank you, Lord, that you have saved us and we now know you. And we are now in a relationship with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've fed us, you know, with your word, Lord. We ask that you will continually help us, even when things around us suggest otherwise, that we will choose to have joy in us and we will choose to rejoice in the Lord our Savior. No matter the circumstances, Lord, no matter what we face individually in our families, even this Christmas season, no matter what we face in our workplace, no matter what we face in our health, no matter what we face, oh Lord, in a relationship with our children and our grandchildren, no matter what we face, Lord, help us to trust, to believe that you are the source of our joy. Those things are not where our joy comes from. Our joy comes from you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I choose to be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. The apostle said to his friends, and I will say it again, rejoice. Help us, Lord, to choose to rejoice. For the love that Jesus has brought in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray that we will continually rejoice in the Lord our God as we reflect on the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.